Welcome to Jom Talk Pets Season 2 by Royal Canin, where health is backed by science. We are going to address a wide array of topics covering the health and well-being of every cat and dog. I'm Davina Goh, hosting this session, and together with me, I have key science experts in the industry sharing their opinions. This is a continuation of the episode titled Puppy 101, Things You Should Know About Them, with Dr. Mark Hugh and Mr. Vikram Krishnan. Vikram, I have a question. How important is the genetics? Because I think when it comes to even like adopting in the human plane, a lot of people kind of get very apprehensive because sometimes you just, when you adopt an orphan, it's very hard to trace back what the kid would have, what kind of genetics the kid has inherited, like physically, mentally, even emotionally. So is that just as important when it comes to adopting puppies?
Okay, maybe I think in terms touching on genetic, I think Dr. Mark will be a better person. But what I will touch here is I will just talk about how important is the parents of the puppies for you to make decision. Because when you approach a breeder, I think it's good for you to actually view the parents as well, and then get more info of the parents. Because when it comes to genetic, we want breeders to breed healthy adults. So I would say it's best to view the parents. But some of the breeders, they might not be having the male because sometimes they don't want to keep males in their kennels. They will be just paying for the start fee. But at least the mother will be there. Please view the mother. Try to have interaction with the mother. You see the character of the mother, how the mother looks. You see there's any abnormality in the mother. And for the father, if it's in the kennel, if with the breeder, you can view. If not, try to get some details, photos or videos of the father of the puppies. So this will help you to actually make decision as well. And this is very crucial. And I think maybe Dr. Mark can share on the more on the genetic or diseases or those prones, like example, German Shepherd, they are prone for hip dysplasia, skin issues, GI. So I think Dr. Mark will be a right person to actually drill down on this particular question.
Sure. Before we move on to Dr. Mark, so can I just clarify that just because a puppy looks healthy now doesn't necessarily mean that it will not have complications later, because sometimes, like I guess like coronavirus, you don't know if someone's healthy until like a few weeks later.
I would say yes, because these are livestock. And it could be a lot of factors. It could be their inheritance, like genetic issues, inherited from the parents. It could be external. So that's why we say for livestock, it's very difficult. The moment you bring out the puppy from breeder's place to your home, they are exposed to so many things. And when they are separated from their litter mates and they are going into a new home, they are undergoing a lot of stress. So that's why it's very crucial for you to provide the right environment, right nutrition for the puppies so that they overcome the stress.
Right.
Yeah. So we don't want them to, when they have stress, they tend to have a lot of other underlying problems. So it actually affects their immunity as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Mark, but this is based on my experience. Correct, yeah. So that's why it's very crucial. So, and most breeders, sometimes they won't be able to give you a guarantee because sometimes these are external factors that are actually which is beyond their control. But if let's say it's a genetic issues like hip dysplasia, we know that the breeding female has these issues, a responsible breeder should not be breeding this particular female. That will be my stand. But if he is not aware, then it will be a one time. So based on his feedback on the current litter, he should be stopping. He shouldn't breed the female again.
Yeah, like if I may continue, like in terms of like genetic diseases, it's so important to actually look at the parents, the sire and the dam of your puppies to see whether there's any problems. So like what Vikram mentioned in terms of hereditary diseases, there's quite a ton, especially when you're talking about pure breeds. Because when you talk about pure breeds, there is always like an intermingling within the bloodline itself. So there's bound to be genetic diseases or genetic problems that will crop up. So like, for example, like your German Shepherds, they tend to have hip dysplasia, which is problems with their hips where there's abnormality in its growth. You don't really see it in puppies, but as they grow older, as they put on more weight on their hind limbs, yes, then you can see that happening. And typically, when we have dogs that have hip dysplasia problems, we encourage breeders to not continue breeding them because this will just go on to propagate the problem on and on and on and on. Yeah, and then like other dogs, like for example, like bulldogs, for example, because they have a lot of folds on their facial folds and their skin prone to things like dermatitis or any skin infections, and then breeds like your Dachshunds, because of the shape of their body, which is like very long torso, long abdomen, long vertebrae, so they're prone to like intervertebral disc diseases that can occur. So some things that we need to think about when we adopt purebreds as well. I'm not bashing purebreds, but it's just that as breeders need to be aware that these diseases can manifest in their breeding line, and they need to be they need to keep an eye out for it. And also potential owners, they need to know that this could be potential problems as well. So that's why some adopters or some owners prefer to go with the shelter route, because in terms of shelter animals, when you talk about genetic diseases, they don't have as much because they have very mixed parentage. You know, like the dad could be German Shepherd, the mom could be a Spitz, for example, the great grandmother could be like some like different breeds. So all this intermingling of bloodlines, intermingling of like different breeds actually help to strengthen the individual itself. So yeah. So pros and cons of getting pure breeds. You know, one thing good is that you can be quite certain of maybe like the temperament, the size of how big it's going to grow up to be. But then on the other hand, your shelter animals, they might have better immunity in that sense of like genetic diseases. Yeah.
Thanks, Vikram and Dr. Mark. So now that we've made sure that our puppies are comfortable, happy, healthy, we've given them all the essentials, what are the things to consider beyond the essentials? What are the things to make sure that your lives with them together are as sustainable as possible?
I think social life of the puppy itself, as it's growing, you need them to expose to different environments so that they are aware of all this, because in future we don't want a nuisance like they are barking at the postman or you have to expose them to different scenarios so that they get used to all this environment, so that they are calm and comfortable with all these environments. And then I would say training is also essential, I would say, because I think most concern will be for the large breed dogs, those are medium and large. I think when they are puppy, they are small, when they are jumping, they are nipping on us, we enjoy it. But if the same puppy, once they grow up, if they are doing the same thing, we get offended. So we try to punish them. But
yeah.
We as a pet owner, we are the one who actually allow them to do that in the first place.
Which a lot of owners don't realize. Like, yeah, you kind of brought this upon yourself. It's not really the puppy's fault.
Yeah, so most of the cases, I would say, it's not the puppy, it's not the dog, it's the owners itself. So I think it's good to enroll the puppy or even the pet owner itself in a training session. So some trainers, they say they can start training as early as 4 months. Some they say 6 months. So it really depends. You have to go and approach. You can do the survey, because with social media now, I think they are all promoting in social medias and Google. So you can just try to do your study and try to fix an appointment. It's similar as what you did for your puppy. You have to do some appointments, you have to approach them, you have to talk to them, because different trainers, they may have different methods of doing things. And also we want to know what type of training you really need. It's just obedience, or you have a certain issues that you need to address, or you want to toilet train your puppies. So there's a lot of things. Or sometimes for large feet, most of the cases will be the dog will be dragging the owners when they are up on the stage. Yes. Oh, don't talk about large feet. I think even toy breeds, I've personally seen my neighbors running behind a Pomeranian. I say, crazy. So, this has to be addressed in early stage so that you have enjoyable social activities with your pets.
Yeah. My sister's dog was adopted at 2 years old, and she's like the smallest thing, but she's a brick house. And when she goes this way, she goes that way.
No, the issue with toy breeds is we as owner, we pamper them too much compared to large breed. We keep toy breeds inside the house and large breed outside the house. that's wrong, you see. We don't treat them equally.
Yes, correct. Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm just realizing the mistakes my family made. I was in high school, I didn't know any better.
So a pet must be treated as a pet. So I know a lot of them, when they're getting a toy breed, they treat them even better than their own kids. I've seen that personally. Yeah. I've seen toy breeds. They are jealous when the owners carry other babies. Wow. You see, this is extreme. This is extreme, you see?
Yeah, this is a whole other level.
So it's responsibility of the pet owner. They should identify and then they should correct. If they can't do, please approach trainers. Yep, they should be able to give you a solution.
Wow, so it's all... So there's so many considerations to make.
Mm-hmm. Training and socializing, super important. Yeah.
Super important. You shouldn't have a dog aggression because some dogs, they only bark at other dogs, not humans. They are friendly with humans, but they are barking at dogs. So sometimes it will trigger to end up until dog aggression. So we don't want that things to happen. No, dogs should be friendly with other dogs. And they should be an alarm or barking at humans because that's what we need. We need them to alert us when outsiders coming in to approaching our gate or our house.
Yep. Because socializing is not just like... between dogs and humans, but between dogs and dogs as well. Because like in UPM, we have a yearly event called Dogathon, whereby we have dogs and dog owners come and we have like a whole morning or whole day activity for them. And then we do see that there are some dogs that are just not used to seeing other dogs, as weird as that may sound. And like you see aggression, they get into fights, and so it ends up like the owner has to like drag the dog away or like not join activities, or just like if it's a small breed, just kind of like holding it the whole time. That kind of defeats the purpose of having a dog there.
You don't enjoy with your dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing, the moment this thing happens, the next time you're bringing your dog out, the moment you see other dogs approaching, you get nervous your energy will be reflected to your dog.
Yes, they can sense
it. It gets the situation worse.
Yeah, agree.
And I've personally seen like I've contacts of a few trainers when I go there. Sometimes they will be having a cat beside a dog kennel. I say, why? No, this owner has a cat, but this particular puppy don't get along. So I'm training the puppy to get along with the cat. So we have this type of training as well. Sometimes the birds. Some people they keep birds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's obedience training with getting puppies used to birds.
Yeah. So if you have a different pets at home, and they don't get along, you can also send the pet for training to get along with these different types of animals.
If only I knew now what I knew then.
No, the issue is sometimes we don't expose them. We don't actually bring them. This is crucial when they are puppy. Because sometimes when they grown up, they don't see all this. They try to have this anxiety.
Right.
See, oh, this is something I've never seen. I have to chase.
Yeah.
So it's our responsibility as a pet owner as well.
Yeah. Socializing training, so important.
Yeah, I think it's crucial. I would say you shouldn't miss.
You shouldn't do it by yourself at home. It's just not going to work, huh?
I would say...
If you don't have the right resources...
Correct.
Like, if you're just using negative reinforcement...
Yeah, no.
Correct.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah. So it's better to get a professional's advice or professional service in order for you to have these trainings.
Yes. Thanks, Vikram. Dr. Mark, can I ask you, so if there's an environment where a breeder has the mother weaning off the puppies, so the litter and the mother is in the same environment, and the mother has gone through decent training to be a good companion animal, is there any chance that the litter or like the puppies will be able to pick up good behaviors from the mom that have been acquired from obedience training?
That's a really interesting question. I think in terms of like obedience training, if the mom is trained well and is everywhere well behaved, she probably will pass some part of that on to her puppies in terms of keeping them in check, in terms of like not if they are too naughty, you know, just kind of like keeping them in line so that they don't go like overboard. And besides that, I think besides like training, like the innate temperament, like or their innate behavior, is also another thing that will be passed on to their puppies. So typically, a mom that's pretty much docile or pretty much calm will have puppies that are also kind of a bit calmer.
So temperament is more of is it nature versus nurture? It's more of nature,
yes,
right?
Yes. So temperament is more about nature. So like obedience classes and training, that would be more nurture, correct?
Right. But it'll always be nice to have a marriage of
the
two.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, definitely. Best of both worlds.
Davina, okay, maybe cool. I will just like to add on top of what Dr. Mark said. Because the mother has been obedience trained, so what we can see from this is, that means there's a potential for the puppies as well to be obedience trained. Because the mother might be obedient because of the training. So if she has the capability of taking up that course, so the puppies might have, most of the puppies could be taking up the obedience training as well and behave obediently.
Right. So they'll be more cognitively inclined to be able to pick up. Got it. Okay, cool. So obedience training, okay, done, sorted. How about nutrition? How do we decide that this is what a dog wants versus this is what a dog needs? So the dog needs proper dog food, but always wants a good chicken drumstick instead. Is that what the dog needs? Or does it, how can we tell the difference?
Okay, maybe let me start, because for me, I'm keeping dogs and breeding dogs. So I would say, like I've highlighted this before, a puppy needs a puppy diet, an adult dog needs an adult diet. So for me personally, for my dogs as well, for my puppies who I'm rehoming, I will always tell my customers to feed a reputable brand of food who's in the market for quite some
time. Okay, just for the record, good food is not human leftovers with rice.
So, why nutrition is so important is during the puppyhood, the puppies might need specific nutrients, vitamins, minerals, in order for them to grow. Because they will be having a rapid growth during their puppy stage compared to their adulthood. The moment they are adult, their energy level also will be reduced, or their growth is stagnant or no more growth. So that's where you need a nutrition change. I think Dr. Mark will be a right person to drill down on this nutrition, I would say.
Yes, Dr. Mark, so we know that children, like toddlers, human people, like human toddlers, they need like the folate, they need the energy, the calories, they need the iron, the calcium. What are the specific nutrient needs for puppies?
It's actually quite similar, because puppies are, you know what, they're growing and they're growing very rapidly. So they need proper nutrients in order to support their growth. So in terms of like bone development, in terms of like muscle development. So when we talk about needs and wants, they need proper nutrition in order to support that growth. But in terms of wants, if you're going to give fried chicken all the time, or if you feel like fast food is the way to go, I would highly discourage that, because yes, you will see your animals getting bigger and larger, but not in a healthy way. So they can just end up being obese or being like really, really fat. And that's not good because that will lead to other problems later on in life. Yeah, so definitely feed a good diet in order to support their health and support their growth. Very, very important. Yeah. And besides that, if I may add, not only a good diet is important, but it needs to be balanced. It needs to be balanced diet. Yeah.
So is there any tips on how to make sure you don't fall for the trap of finding some food that you think would be good for your puppy but actually isn't?
I think it's really important for owners to have conversations with veterinarians because whenever we talk about feeding and diets and nutrition, it always needs to be backed up with proper science, proper data. Right. So when we talk about commercial brands that are available in the market, there's like tons. If you go to a grocery store, there's so many. And of course, you don't know which one to choose. So having a good proper conversation with your vet. And besides that, having good conversation with, for example, if you got your dog from a breeder, for example, you can get opinions from the breeder from what they think is best. And or if you adopted your dog from a shelter, speak to the owners of the shelter. What do they recommend? And then at the end of the day, it all boils down to you to choose what is best for your animal, but you need to do your own research. Like, you listen to multiple groups of people, from vets, breeders, from the shelter, but at the end of the day, you need to make your own decision, and you also need to do your own research, right? You can look online, look for nutritional values. Just keep in mind that you want to give good nutrition and a balanced diet for your puppy, and not something that's skewed or like that's a bit off, because that's what I said earlier, it would just cause problems in the future.
And it can't be just because you saw like a big billboard with a cute puppy.
No.
With a smile digitally put on its face, enjoying this food. Can't depend on that.
No, you can't depend on that. Right. Yeah, you need to do your own research. Yeah,
right.
That's a very good point from Dr. Mark. I fully agree. So there's a few ways for you to choose a proper nutrition for your puppies. First thing, if you are like what Dr. Mark has shared, if you are adopting a puppy from a shelter, definitely shelter will be telling you that they are feeding this brand. So usually they will say, these are what we are feeding. So once you adopted, you try to continue. And if you want to change, please consult your vet, because the best is to bring the puppy to the vet to do some assessment. And then the vet can advise whether you can still stick to the same food or need to change the diet. And when it comes to breeders, most breeders will actually recommend the brand that they are feeding, because they don't want the puppy buyers to change the diet immediately, because sometimes when you are changing the environment, the puppies are already undergoing stress. And if you change the diet, it further stress them out, and they might end up in a soft stool or purging, which might deteriorate the puppy as well. Mm. So usually breeders will advise them to continue with the food that the breeder is feeding. And then if the puppy buyer intend to change, please discuss with your vet whether they need any special diet for your puppies. Mm. If not, you can still stick to the brand that you are feeding.
Correct.
Okay.
And if I may add, if you want to do any changes in diet, you need to do it gradually. You can't do like brand A today and then the next day you just automatically change to brand B. Like, yeah, it's not going to work. You need to do it gradually.
At least a 7-day food transition.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much for this. You know, even as someone who has gone through, you know, so many dogs in my life, I'm thinking like, wow, okay, I could have been a much better pet owner, but I'm really glad it better now than never, right? So just to summarize everything, getting a puppy should never be impulsive. There's a lot of homework to be done. You need to be conscientious about your decision, what kind of dog you're getting, and from what, whether it should be from a shelter, from a breeder, or from a pet shop. You need to do the homework about what kind of puppy you want and if it will integrate into your lifestyle, if you can afford this puppy in the long term, if it will.
That's a lot of things to think about.
Nutrition, preparing the home right, finding the right vet, building a relationship with your vet, building a relationship with the family members and the pet and the postman.
And training.
Feeding it right. Oh, socializing. Guys, so yeah, having a puppy is a great thing. Just gotta do it right.
Correct.
Yeah, but I think, so I know there's a lot of things to consider, but I think in the same way that we entered this conversation today, at the end of the day, regardless of all these things we have to take into consideration, it can come across as quite stressful, but at the end of the day, it is one of the most fulfilling experiences in the world.
Yes,
yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, do you have any final tips on people who would say, who maybe... severely intimate, like proper, like traumatized, like, oh my God, okay, I'm not going to get a puppy now because I'm all at work. Is there any kind of takeaways from this whole conversation as a final word to potential puppy owners out there?
If it's for me, I would just say that before you embark on your puppy journey, you just have to know what your priorities in life are. And you need to make sure that you are fully committed to having this companion for the next 10, 12, 15 years, and that you're in it for the long haul. Yeah. If you are able to commit to that, then go ahead. Get your new best friend.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Mark.
For me, it's a good point from Dr. Mark. For me, I would say whatever we have shared here or discussed here, it's merely just to assist a potential puppy owner. So don't take it negatively. It's actually to give you a peace of mind, because you shouldn't take decision when you are excited. It shouldn't be impulse as well. So go one step at a time. Discuss with your family members. Decide on what you really need. And because, as what Dr. Mark said, it's going to be a commitment of 10 years, 12 years or 15 years. So you have to think about that and then make your final call. But before you make your final call, please do your homework. That's crucial. Because we don't want the pets to be end up on the roads after the pandemic is over.
Correct.
Agreed.
Yeah. Wow, thank you. And yeah, so what I'm realizing is, like, yeah, it can come across as quite overwhelming to hear this podcast and to hear about all these things that you need to take into consideration. But wow, like, I wish I had this kind of information when I was a kid, so that I could have brought up I really could have helped my dogs live out their most highest quality of life. So it's not to scare anybody off, it's to give people the mental preparation and the resources to make sure that their decision is one that they will not regret. And I'm really glad that I've learned so much from you guys today. Even like I'm supposed to be like captain of the ship asking all these questions, but I also feel like a deckhand, like really learning the ropes and being able to become a better animal welfare advocate just from this session. So thank you so much, Dr. Mark, and thank you so much, Vikram, for being so generous with your input and your insights today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us as well.
Thank you for listening to Jom Talk Pets by Royal Canin, where health is backed by science. Stream us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. For more pet health and nutrition tips, visit royalcanin.com/my, as well as at our socials on Facebook and Instagram @RoyalCanin Malaysia.